You're listening to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family, and fun. We hope you will be blessed by this message.
Have you ever seen someone and mistaken them for someone you thought they were? It's kind of awkward, isn't it, when that happens? I've done that a few times. Josiah did that yesterday, in fact, didn't you? We were in Nando's, and there's a little boy, and he had his phone next to Josiah. We were in the queue, and he looked at the phone, and he said, "Daddy, that boy has got a picture of, where's Asher? Asher on his phone." I'm like, "No, he doesn't." And I'm like, he's like, "Yes, yeah, he does. He does." And I'm like, "No, he doesn't." And sure enough, a few minutes later, the boy's mum came by and it wasn't Asher, and Josiah had to apologize to me. I know exactly where he gets that from, because the exact same thing happened to me a couple of years ago, except I went one step further. I was at a conference in Bradford, West Yorkshire, and an old friend of mine was at the same conference, but I'd not seen him yet. Now, I remember thinking, "Oh man, I'd love to see him. Hopefully I'll bump into him." And again, I was in Nando's. You see the pattern here. And I was in Nando's and I looked over. My eyesight's getting a bit dodgy. It's getting worse. I had to have an eye test this week and new glasses are on their way. But I was in Bradford and I saw this this guy at the drinks counter. I thought, "Oh, it's my old friend." Now, he put a little bit of weight on and he started to lose his hair. But back in those days, I was fat, so I felt I could tease him a little bit about it. It's one pro to having a bit of weight. So I thought, I'll go up to him. So I go up to him, and he's at the drinks machine. He's got, like, his back to the drinks machine. So I go up to him, and I just kind of, like, grab him and rub his bald head. Say, "Hey, man, how's it going?" And I realize it's the wrong guy. So it's like a complete identity crisis. I get the wrong guy. Just like, can you believe it? And this guy was horrified, and I had to apologize. I thought he was going to punch me in the face, and he's from Bradford, and he's stronger and harder than me. He's going to punch me. But he managed to apologize. I said, "I'm so sorry. I thought you were someone else." So that was a pretty embarrassing occasion. But nothing beats the time I was in the steam room at the gym with my wife, or so I thought. And she walks in her bikini. And it's not quite a bikini, okay, whatever they call them, tankini. And because that really changes the emphasis of the story, of course. And it's a steam room, so it's kind of steamy. And my eyes are not good. Becky's on one of her weight loss regimes, so I just make a little comment. "Hey, how's the weight loss going? Did you get weighed?" And then utter silence. So I'm like, why is she ignoring me? So I'm like, "I'll try again. Hey, you didn't answer me about the weight loss. Did I offend you?" Again, silence. And then to my horror, 30 seconds later, Becky walks in the steam room. So I've been asking a complete stranger about their weight loss. Another identity crisis. Identity is a big word today. We hear a lot about different people questioning their identity. And it kind of, if I'm honest, scares me a little bit when I hear people just deciding, "Oh, hey, I don't identify as that. I'm going to be something else." I don't know about you, but that kind of troubles me. I'm not quite sure that's the way God intended it to be. You may have seen the news this week about Franklin Graham's upcoming visit to the UK. Franklin Graham is the son of the great Billy Graham, arguably the greatest evangelist of all time. And I think now 5 of the 8 venues that were hosting Franklin Graham in the UK in May and June have cancelled. They say, "We're not having him in our venue because of his views about sexuality," because he preaches a traditional Bible viewpoint that marriage is between one man and one woman. So Franklin Graham has been banned from 5 of the 8 venues. Now, I'm told that his tour is still going ahead. And in fact, I got a surprise email this week from the Billy Graham Association to say that I'm one of 10 pastors in the UK who's been invited this Saturday to have lunch with Franklin Graham. So I'm going to go and get to meet him. And they said, "Look, we want to get your support, and just we want you to ask him any questions you want to question him about the tour." and about his view. So I'm going to go to London, hopefully on Saturday, if I can change around a few things, and I'm going to be with Franklin Graham. But it made me think all about the subject of identity. Identity. I don't know about you. It's easy to mistake your friends, but it's quite a key point not to do that. It's even more important not to mistake yourself. In other words, it's crucial to know who you are. Maybe at school you had a nickname. Maybe in a football team someone gave you a name and it stuck with you for the rest of your life. Maybe you meet up with school friends and they still call you by that name which no one even knows you've got. Has that ever happened to you? My name, Matthew, means gift from God. Could there be a more apt name for me? Just joking. Humble is not my middle name. So my middle name is John, which means God is gracious. Names are important. Top five boys' names, in fact, top three boys' names in 2018. Oliver, we got one of those in here. Maybe we got two of those in here. Reggie, we had one of those in here a while back. He's gone. And we got Reuben, number three. Top three boys' name in 2018. Reuben and Jill, you were 10 years ahead of the time. You're so cool. The top three girls' name in 2018, we got Amelia. We got one of those. We got Emily. We got one of those. And we got Olivia. So we are a trendy church. Maybe you want to have a baby and you're wondering and praying and thinking about what the name of your child might be. I've told you the story before, but when I first met Becky and we started dating, pretty soon it became apparent that the relationship was fairly serious. And she let me know one day, just to let you know that one day, if we get married, we're going to have a baby, and we're going to have a baby boy, and we're going to call him Josiah. I'm like, okay, thanks for telling me that. Glad to see we can make these decisions together as a couple. But I soon realized that wasn't a point for negotiation, and Josiah, which means God saves, was born in 2011. It's important what people name you, but it's even more important what God names you. You see, if you're not careful, you can be defined by the wrong thing. And you can be defined not by what God says about you, but about what other people say about you. I've told you the story many times about how I grew up with a stammer. And my childhood was pretty bleak at school because I was bullied because of this stutter, which just would not go away. And it was almost like that was becoming to be my definition. Oh, he's the boy who stutters, the boy who can't get his words out. And I remember crying and being so upset as a child, and I can still feel the pain of the torment and the laughter in the playground because people would mock your voice. And it's a miracle today that I can stand behind this pulpit in my incredible accent, which is so messed up, no one even knows where it's from. Some stupid Yorkshire American twang, whatever it is. But that, I was not going to let that become my definition. Now, in Bible times, it was a father's decision to name a child. Okay, so in the Bible times, only the man would have a say in the matter. And these days, of course, it's a complete joint decision, or in my case, it's the mother's decision. But today, we want to give Father God his job back. And we want to talk about identity. What does God say about you? They say you might hear your name 100 times a day, which would be about 3 million times in an average lifespan. Today, we're not really interested what mum or dad named you, but what does your Father in heaven say about you? Before we get into this, maybe you were told that you were an accident. I once met someone and they said, my mum told me for all my life that I was an accident and they didn't mean to have me. And this person who told me this had carried that pain for many years. I want to say before we even get right into this message, you are not an accident. God planned you. God has a design for you. You haven't just stumbled here today. You didn't just kind of just so happen to be here. Even if your mom or your dad rejected you, God has not rejected you. You were formed, the Bible says, even in your mother's womb, he knew you. So it doesn't even matter who your mom is, who your dad is, if you were adopted, if you were fostered, if you were kind of passed around the care system. Today, God designed you and adores you and has a plan for your life. I just want to get that out there from day one, from minute one. Don't believe the lie that you're an accident. God does not make mistakes. Even if you were born with a disability or you were born with a learning difficulty, I want to tell you, God does not make mistakes. And God made you just the way he intended you to. And he can get glory through your life. Maybe you got told you're an accident. And could it be that people don't really know who you are, even today? Maybe you're defined by a certain thing or a stigma or a habit. Or he's the guy with a drinking problem. Or he's the guy who smokes. Or she's the woman who does, you know. Maybe you got that. We're going to help you today discover your identity. You know, Jesus had the same issue when people didn't really know who he was. Let's pull up the first scripture, please. Then it goes from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. It says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." In other words, people didn't know who Jesus was. He had an identity issue. People were kind of still sussing him out. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." A lot of people can say negative things about you. But if important people say something about you, those words could have the ability to discourage you and potentially define you for the rest of your life. A word from them can carry you into a dark place. Have you ever had someone say something over you and you never forget it? "You're an accident. We didn't mean to have you. You're a failure." I remember my history teacher looking at me one day. Maybe I deserved it. Maybe I was messing around. But he looked at me and said, "Son, you're never going to do anything with your life." And I remember that, those words, man, I can feel it now. I can remember the exact place I was sitting when those words hit me. "God's never going to use you. You'll be like that forever. You ever had these kind of, you'll end up just like your dad." Maybe you've had that one. And if you're not careful, these words can define you and shape you. "Sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you." Who on earth wrote that? What a load of garbage. Rubbish. We're in England. I told you I had a stupid accent. Let's forget for a few moments what anyone else has said about you, and we're going to talk about what God says about you. What does God name you? You know that song we sing, "I am who you say I am"? Well, today we're going to unpack that. We're going to find out what God says you are. In fact, we're going to look at three different points and three different things that God gives you when you start to follow him. The first point is this. A few weeks ago, I was up in Yorkshire, seeing my family, walking to my dad's house, and I'm greeted with a love and a hug and a brown envelope. Immediately, I got excited because brown envelopes sometimes mean you get a little bonus for being such an amazing son. But it wasn't to be that day. In fact, it was this brown envelope here. And I opened it up. I thought, what on earth is this? For the first time in my life, I saw my birth certificate. And I've managed to go 32 years, without looking at a birth certificate. I don't know how I managed that. Maybe I've seen it at some point. But my parents' certificate. I want to say, When you become a Christian, God gives you a birth certificate. Let's pull up the next scripture, please, Ben. John 1:12 says this: "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Today, you are a child of God. When you accept Christ into your life, it doesn't matter who your natural parents are, your parent is God the Father. How many know God loves you just like a father loves his son or his daughter? Next verse says this, Romans 8:16. It backs up what I'm just saying. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How many know today you're God's favorite? You say, well, how can I be? He can be everyone's favorite. God's children are all his favorites. Maybe you're thinking, how can God have a favorite? I tell Josiah he's my favorite son all the time. Someone asked a father once who his favorite son was, and he replied, the one who needs me the most. You're a child of God. He's adopted you into his family. He's given you a heavenly birth certificate. You're no longer an orphan, but God has made a way for you to accept him. Maybe today you've got some parental wounds. Maybe you've got some issues about your, and I'm blessed. I've had an incredible childhood. My parents loved me and still do, and I have a great relationship with them. They never once really had a bad thing to say. We've had a great relationship all these years. But for some people, days like Mother's Day and Father's Day are actually quite painful days. And you dread that day in the calendar. And you'll do anything to avoid that day in the calendar. Because to you, it's messy. It's complicated. You got issues because of what they did to you or what they said to you. You know, a close friend, Becky and I had food with this week. They told us that their father left when he was 5 years old and never seen him since. It can be pretty painful if you let it. Maybe your dad walked out on you. Maybe your mum was abusive to you. Maybe you're adopted and you've never even got a clue who your natural birth parents are. I want to tell you this. Today you can know God as your father. He's giving you not just a brown envelope, but a birth certificate. You can know God. And guess what? Men are going to let you down. Women are going to let you down. Parents, as great as they can be, are going to let you down. But God is the Father who will never leave you and never, ever forsake you. You get a birth certificate. When you say, I'm a Christian, I want to follow Christ, you get a birth certificate. Brand new. That's the first thing you get. The second thing you get is you get a passport. Where's the old passport? Well, my passport is with the Ghanaian embassy right now. That's a whole other story. But I found a passport in my house this morning. Here's this beautiful face. Josiah Murray. There he is. His passport. This passport almost cost me my marriage one time. I was on my way to France to see Steve and Marg. And we got to Plymouth. And we're all ready to get on the crossing. It's a night ferry. It's like 6 hours. I said to Becky, you know, the one job, get the passports. You got the passports? Sure, yeah, here's the three passports. So I get the passports out. I flick through them. Got my passport. Great, I'm going to France. Got Becky's passport. Great, Becky's off to France. Passport number three comes out. Now, most normal people have one passport. But Becky, bless her, has two. Because she travels so much, she had to write to the government and they gave her special permission to have two passports. Because one time she could be in Pakistan and then she might be in India. And sometimes there's conflict between nations and you better to get a visa stamp on one and not let it see the other. And kind of, so she's got two passports in her name. So we got to France, to the crossing, and I had one passport. Becky had two passports and Josiah had no passport. So me and Becky might have had a nice romantic getaway in France, but we couldn't leave Josiah in Plymouth, as tempting as that would have been. I would love to say I acted in a loving, Christian, calm, peaceful, humble manner. But I should not lie from the pulpit. I was horrible. I was nasty. I was angry. Becky says amen. But somehow, the fourth passport miraculously appeared in the bottom of the bag and she'd brought all four. That in itself was a problem because they'd never encountered someone at the crossing with two passports. So they're like, who are you? They thought she was some criminal. Passports, I mean, there's nothing worse. Has anyone ever, raise your hand if you've ever got to an airport and forgotten your passport. Anyone? A few people, oh man, some forgetful people on this side of the room. Rian, we see that hand. Wow. I've never done that, but that must be pretty scary. Pretty scary. I've got another passport story, which is, again, very frustrating. If ever you come to America with me, don't. Because you'll have a long wait. You know, I get to America, and you know, you go through the custom checks, and then they give you you scan your passport. They do it all electronically, and then you get a piece of paper back saying, you know, tick, you're in, and then you go through. It's quicker. So mine, I scan my passport, it comes back, and my photo and a black cross going through my face. And it says, go to speak to customs. I'm like, oh man, immigration. This is not good. So every time now this happens, I get to Atlanta and I have to queue up. And then they say, sorry, we're going to have to take you into a back room. So they take me into a back room and there's me and 200 Mexicans. And then I have to wait for my turn. And I'm thinking, this is it. Bye-bye, USA. Bye-bye, steak. And spreading the gospel. And they call me up. They say, Matthew Murray. I'm like, here it is. They're going to kick me out. I'm done. I'm going back home with the Mexicans. And they say, okay, you're free to go. I'm like, what? Why do you do that? They said, well, there's a man by the name of Matthew John Murray who was born on the same day as you, and he's on the run from the FBI. I'm like, why does this stuff happen to me? I'm just trying to live a normal life. I just want to go and help some children in Africa, and I'm not doing anything bad. I'm a good person, honest. But every time it delays I have to like book like a 5-hour layover in the airports because it could take 3 hours for me to get into America. So seriously, if you ever come to America with me, book a different flight and I'll meet you there. If not, I'll be in Mexico. So when you become a Christian, your identity changes. You get a new passport. You see, my passport tells me that I was born on May the 4th, 1987. But my spiritual passport tells me I was born on the 25th of February, 2005. Josiah's passport tells him he was born on the 11th of July, 8th of July. That's Becky. Becky's the 11th of July. I'm sorry, Josiah. You can have two birthdays this year. But when you become a child of God, you get a brand new passport. You get a completely new life. Isn't that amazing? You don't just get a new birth certificate, you get new parents, you get a new passport. You see, you become a child of God. You become washed and cleansed and changed. That's when your guilt goes. That's when your shame goes. Bible says this, Philippians 3:20. Look at this. This is amazing. Our citizenship is in heaven. It doesn't matter what it says on your natural passport, where you were born. You're born in Nairobi, born in London, born in Leeds. Bless your heart if you were. Your citizenship is in heaven. Did you know that when you got saved, when you accepted Jesus, your name was written in a book? Did you know that? The Bible calls it the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pull that verse up, Hebrews 12:23. To the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Man, your name's in heaven. How cool is that? How amazing is that? When you accept Christ and you become born again, your name is written in heaven. That's your destination. That's your citizenship. That should comfort someone today. No matter how many problems you got going on in this earth, no matter how messy and complicated and desperate life seems, you get to go to heaven. I mean, come on, anyone just desperate for that day now? Lord, come on, anytime. I mean, I love being here on earth. It's great, isn't it? But man, imagine being in heaven. Wow. Wow. We can skip those next two, Ben, the next two verses. So you get a birth certificate. You get a passport. And the final one, and I don't have a prop for this, but you get a clean slate. I'm going to preach to you for a few moments about what it means to be righteous. The Bible uses the word justified. This is pretty powerful because God actually sees me as if I've never sinned. Look at this, Romans 5:9, Ben, if we can get that up. Yeah, it says this, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Look at this, Romans 5:18, the next one. It's talking about the differences between Adam and Jesus. It says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Imagine if your deep, dark secrets were put on that screen. Imagine if everyone knew the secrets in your heart. People's fear is that if people knew everything about you, then they wouldn't love you. If your sin was on the screen, your thoughts, your desires, your temptations, your impurities, they wouldn't love you. They'd throw you out. Here's the beauty about God. God does know everything about you, and yet he still loves you. You will never make yourself good enough for God. But guess what? You don't have to. Religion is man reaching for God. Christianity is God reaching for man. I'm going to read now my final verse for today. It's probably one of my favorite Bible verses. Jill, if you could just come and play the keyboard, that would be great for these last few moments. Then we're going to finish. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin, in other words, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When I gave my life to Jesus, I lost all my friends, I lost all my ambition. Lost my desire to get rich and do something really with my life. I just surrendered to God, and I had a very tough few years of real sacrifice. I would walk on the hills near my home and pray and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. God will call me, he'll use me. They might laugh at me now and think I'm crazy, but one day, God, you're gonna do something great with my life. I became a child of God. I became a citizen of heaven, and my slate was wiped clean. I am God who you say I am. It doesn't matter what other people say about me. The beauty of that verse is God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, when God sees you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees his son. He sees his son who hung on a cross. The blessed Savior who thorns were dug into his forehead and a spear was put into his side. He said, this is a bit deep for Sunday morning. This is a bit gory. It's a bit brutal. There's children in the room. Listen, I owe you the truth this morning. The Jesus you see on a Christmas card or in an Easter card that shows a cloth around his waist and a pretty blue eyes, a nice face. That's not the Jesus that was crucified. The Jesus that was crucified was naked. He was hung on a cross. And no one could save him in that moment because he decided, I'm going to go to the cross. And tears would have been rolling down his cheeks and blood would have been spurting out of his side. And they put nails, and they put a nail in his hand on one hand and then the other hand, and then they got his legs and they nailed him to the cross. They say that the crucifixion is one of the most painful deaths you can endure because it's so long. Blood would have been pouring down his face. Imagine a crown of thorns being put on his head. And people mocked him and laughed at him and spat at him and said, save yourself. Physician, heal thyself, is exactly what they said. And Jesus, in one of the greatest acts of humanity, in one of the greatest acts in history, he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus go to such extent? So that your slate could be wiped clean. That's who you are today. The righteousness of God. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at your mess and your hurt and your complications. He looks at you and he sees the righteousness of God. He sees the Son of God who suffered for you. I know that's gory. I know it's messy. I know it's probably 18 rated. But it's the truth this morning of why God died for you. And when he was on that cross, friend, even when mom or dad wasn't around, he saw you. And even when You didn't know where you belonged. You didn't even know. Maybe you were born somewhere. You'd never even been to that place or that hospital. God saw you. He gave you a passport. He said, come on, you're with me now. I'll take care of you. We can have some adventures. Might not always be easy, but I'll always be there for you. I'll be there to pick you up when you fall. I'll be there to put my arm around you when you need me. I'll comfort you when you're struggling. You're going to mess up. Guess what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to comfort you, and I'm going to be there with you forever. And the most beautiful verse you'll ever read says this: I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Man, who would turn that down? If you would turn that down this morning, you're more crazy than someone's putting their hands in the air in worship. You might be thinking that, man, who do these people think they are doing? Listen, the craziest thing would be for you to walk out of this door and to turn down eternal life, turn down citizenship of heaven, turn down a brand new passport and a clean slate. I don't know about you, but I need all those three things right now. I need my birth certificate, I need my passport, and I need my slate to be clean. God, I am who you say I am. Jill, can you just sing that chorus? Let's just close our eyes. Let's just sing. Let's just worship for a moment.
Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Jesus.
In my Father. A place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Yeah, God.
My Father's house.
There's a place for you this morning.
There's a place for me. I'm a child.
Today, you have a decision. I am who you say I am. Maybe you've had words spoken of your life this morning, and they're still hurting you. Maybe you've had rejection from your parents. Maybe you had rejection from people at school. A teacher spoke some words over you. I don't care today what they said to you. I care today what God says to you. And he says you're chosen. You're not forsaken. I am who you say I am this morning, God. In Jesus' name, we serve a mighty God. Firstly, today, if there's anyone here you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Listen, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to drag you out here and humiliate you, but we are going to say God is with you. And if you say, Matthew, I've been listening to this message now for a few weeks and months and maybe a few days, maybe a few years, but I've never really made a decision to follow you. If that's you this morning, you can accept him right now. You can have a relationship with him. If you say, Matthew, pray for me, just show me your hand real quick. Just put it up and then put it straight back down. If there's anyone in here this morning, thank you. In Jesus' name, is anyone else today? Just show me your hand real quick and put it down. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you. God bless. Second group of people today. Maybe someone has spoken some words over you and you feel them and you live with them. And those words are not getting any easier. Listen, I said it because I meant it this morning. If you don't believe this morning that God can change your life in one service, you're in the wrong room. I'm telling you right now, God can change your life in one second. And if you're carrying hurt, if you're carrying rejection, if you're carrying words, I just want to pray for you. That's you today. Just do me a favor. Just show me your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all around the place. Anyone else? Just show me your hand and put it straight back down. Let me include you in my prayer. Thank you. Anyone else today? You're just feeling hurt, rejected, lonely? Thank you. Father God, we thank you that you're a good God. You're an incredible King. And today is the the day of salvation. Thank you, God, for those who want to accept you into their life. I pray that salvation would come. For those, God, who maybe feel rejection, maybe feel hurt and pain, I pray, God, that they would know who you say they are today. And they would believe the words of God, especially those with parental issues. I pray right now for the peace and love of God. And God, show them they don't have to be tough and hard. Today, your arms are there to wrap around them. And they can feel your warmth like never before. In Jesus' name. Get in my Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place.
Why don't we just stand to our feet and we're going to close the service today. Thank you.
I'm all of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
Yes, God.
I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Thank you, God. Father, we thank you that we are who you say we are. No one defines us, God, but you. And we walk in that truth today. We walk in that victory today, that you're a good God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.